voice of the world. The sound of the beat. The sound that sets you tapping your feet. Radio, the sound of year-round pleasure. The sound of the news, rhythm and blues.
Tchaikovsky swing, whatever you choose.
Radio, the sound of year-round pleasure.
Welcome to All Things Radio, your weekly radio magazine.
It's
radio news from a national perspective, call letter and format changes, sports news, featured radio stations from yesterday and today, your voicemails and phone calls, as well as special guests and featured segments. And now here's your host, Bill Sparks.
Educates, syncopates, radio communicates, radio, the sound of year-round pleasure.
Well, a very good evening from a very rainy Indianapolis, Indiana, where we have radio changes looming imminent, and that makes me excited. But I'm going to turn it over to Michael Off. He's going to say a few things, and then we'll go from there and get to Jeff's news.
All right. Well, hello, everyone. How much exciting news can we have? You know, you heard YouTube TV. I was $39.99 with the $49.99. Actually, went to $54.99. So they're going to see how much Google can see how much they can gouge out of you to watch TV. Other than that, this and all my fellow St. Louis Blues fans just yipping and yelling about that bad call in the goal last night. But myself waiting tonight for the finale of The Big Bang Theory, the first sitcoms to really use multiple cameras, and I still think there aren't many others that do, so it's kind of interesting.
They're one of the few, and it's a two. It's a 1 hour after we get off here.
Yep. That's
it's
right.
A really big bang.
Yeah, really.
So anyway, we got the usual crew in here: Chris and Perry and Sean and Gary and Mike in Florida, and of course the one and only. We'll hand it to him, Jeff Bennett.
I didn't know who's Jeff. I don't even know who I am. Oh, I'm all just kidding. Hey, good evening, everybody. Well, welcome to All Things Radio Live. First of all, we're going to tell you some radio news after the radio news that we've got more information about Cumulus, and we can also tell you in cord cutting news that the Hulu is actually going to be bought out by Disney. The remaining shares of Hulu will be bought out by Disney. It'll be interesting to see how they merge the Disney operations with the Hulu operations. And AT&T, I understand, I haven't read it all yet, is making some changes direct to DirecTV. And the other news is that if you want to quit some of these services in the middle of the month, you may not get all your money back for that month. So you might want to be careful of that. They're making changes at Spectrum, and they're also making changes at AT&T for that kind of thing. So, Bill, I'll turn it over to you, and we'll get that radio news started, and we'll talk a little bit more about Cumulus. And I know Perry has some sports to talk to us about. We've got a WPLJ farewell. We've got an air check of WRQX in Washington, D.C. And we also have part two of that recording industry segment that we did, that we're doing. And, of course, don't forget about Jennifer Sparks' call letter and format changes. Over to you, Bill.
Well, but Jeff, but one thing before we start with your award-winning news. What is the new name according to Spectrum? What's your new name?
What's my new name? It's Mud.
No, besides that, who's what account are you under now? What's the guy's name?
Oh, the guy's name, they screwed up my cell phone service. The guy's name they put my account under is a guy named John Hicks.
So
nice radio name. Nice radio name. Yeah.
With the radio news, here is
John. Or a catcher for the Detroit Tigers.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah.
So with the radio news, here's John Hicks.
I'm Jeff Bennett for All Things Radio, and here's what's happening in the world of broadcasting. New York says so long to radio station WPLJ-FM. More radio groups report their first quarter revenue results. We'll let you know what's happening on the street, and we'll begin our look at the Nielsen April Personal People Meter ratings. To say that this past week was a very busy week in the world of broadcasting would certainly be an understatement. Folks living in New York City got the word that the end is coming for radio station WPLJ-FM. This is certainly no surprise for those who cover the world of broadcasting. However, many New Yorkers didn't realize that Cumulus had sold radio station WPLJ-FM to the Educational Media Foundation, and with the sale of this radio station, the New York City radio landscape is going to be forever changed. It all started in 1948, when the American Broadcasting Company began programming radio station WABC-FM in 1948. Even before FM radio stations were required to separate their programming, WABC was ahead of schedule. They broadcast programming of a fine arts nature with classical and world music, as well as jazz. However, by the 1960s, WABC-FM had become an album-oriented rock radio station, and in 1971, WPLJ FM was born. WPLJ continued its album Rock Rain until 1983, when Larry Berger, then program director of WPLJ, changed the format from album rock to pop CHR. Unfortunately, two ownership changes and bad management of the radio station caused its demise, and Cumulus had no choice but to sell this radio station along with others after emerging from Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. We'll provide you with an air check of WPLJ and its final announcement of its demise later on in All Things Radio Live. In other news, more radio groups continued to report their first quarter revenue results. And one of those radio groups was Saga Communications, which reported that its first quarter revenue results were down 0.7%. One of the reasons for the drop in revenue for this company was Saga's purchase of radio stations in the Gainesville and Ocala, Florida radio market. Another company reporting their first quarter revenue results was Urban One, which was down 1.2%. However, a plus for this company is that their digital revenue grew 6%. Another company reporting its first quarter revenue results was Salem Media. Salem Media reported that its revenue for the first quarter was down 5.2%. The big problem with this company, according to Ed Assinger, CEO of the company, is that they're having problems selling local advertising on their radio stations. Finally, we couldn't talk about broadcasting revenue without bringing up Cumulus. Cumulus revenue was up 1.2%. After coming out of bankruptcy, that's not doing too badly for this company. And the ones with one arm for this company grew 3.2% as well. It'll be interesting to see how Cumulus continues to perform throughout the year as they get rid of some of their larger and medium-sized market radio stations. Now let's take a quick look and find out what's happening on the street. Bob Bronson has exited his position as morning host at radio station WLTW-FM. Paired with Christine Negi, Bob Bronson's morning show was quite successful, and WLTW has consistently been the number one ranked radio station in the New York radio market for many, many years. Bob Bronson came to WLTW after working as program director and morning host at radio station WZID-FM in Concord, New Hampshire, which is owned and operated by Saga Media. In other news, Mount Wilson Broadcasting has hired a new morning host for its country radio station, KKJO-FM, in Los Angeles, California. Angie Fitzsimmons comes to this radio station after working as a producer for the Carson Daly Morning Show and Adam Carolla Radio Show as well. In other news, Larry Moon Thompson has been working in radio for over 45 years, and since 2002, Larry Moon Thompson has held the afternoon drive position at radio station KSTP-FM, owned and operated by Hubbard Media. Larry Moon Wilson came to Minneapolis, Minnesota after working in Denver, Colorado, and Houston, Texas. Another radio announcer who's retiring after 41 years in radio is Sean McDowell. Sean McDowell has spent 26 years at radio station WDVE-FM in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, which is owned and operated by iHeartMedia. In other news, could a format change be imminent at radio station WYRG-FM in Indianapolis, Indiana? The station currently broadcasts the pop CHR format, but according to domain registrations, that could all change. The station is owned and operated by Cumulus Media, and it seems as though Cumulus Media may be changing this radio station to a soft adult contemporary format. We'll let you know more about this in a future All Things Radio Live broadcast. Finally, a new classic soul radio station is on the air in Memphis, Tennessee. The station is radio station WMSO AM, licensed to South Haven, Mississippi, with a translator in Memphis, Tennessee. The station is owned and operated by Flynn Broadcasting. Unfortunately, they're not broadcasting their stream on the internet, but if they do, we certainly will provide you with an air check of this radio station in a future All Things Radio Live broadcast. Now it's time to begin our look at the Nielsen April Personal People Meter ratings. In New York City, the number one ranked radio station is WLTW-FM with an adult contemporary format. The number two ranked radio station is WBLS-FM with an urban adult contemporary format. And finally, the number three ranked radio station in New York City is WCBS-FM with a classic hits format. In Los Angeles, California, the number one ranked radio station is one we featured on All Things Radio Live. That's KOST-FM with an adult contemporary format. The number two ranked radio station is KRTH-FM with a classic hits format. And finally, the number three ranked radio station in Los Angeles, California is KTWV-FM with a rhythmic adult contemporary format. In Chicago, Illinois, the number one ranked radio station is WTMX-FM with a hot adult contemporary format. The number two ranked radio station is WVAZ-FM with an urban adult contemporary format. And finally, the number three ranked radio station in Chicago, Illinois is WDRV-FM with a classic rock format. In San Francisco, California, the number one ranked radio station is KQED-FM. That's the public broadcaster with a news, talk, and information format. The number two ranked radio station is KCBS-AM with its all news operation. And finally, the number three ranked radio station in San Francisco, California is KOIT-FM with an adult contemporary format. In Dallas, Texas, the number one ranked radio station is KHKS-FM with a pop CHR format. The number two ranked radio station is KLUV-FM with a classic hits format. And finally, the number three ranked radio station in Dallas, Texas is KDGE-FM with an adult contemporary format. In Houston, Texas, the number one ranked radio station is KODA-FM with an adult contemporary format. The number two ranked radio station is KLTN-FM with a Mexican regional format. And finally, the number three ranked radio station in Houston, Texas is KMJQ-FM with an urban adult contemporary format. In Washington, D.C., the number one ranked radio station is WAMU-FM. That's the public broadcaster with a news, talk, and information format. The number two rec radio station is WTOP-FM with its all-news operation. And finally, the number three rec radio station in the nation's capital is WMMJ-FM with an urban and local contemporary format. In Atlanta, Georgia, the number one rec radio station, and this is truly a surprise, is WFSH-FM. That's owned and operated by Salem Media with a contemporary Christian format. The number two rec radio station is WSB-FM with an adult contemporary format. And finally, the number three rec radio station in Atlanta, Georgia is WVE-FM with an urban format. Finally, in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, the number one rec radio station is WMGK-FM with a classic rock format. The number two rec radio station is WBEB-FM with an adult contemporary format. And finally, the number three rec radio station in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania is WIP-FM with its all sports operation. Next week, we'll continue our look at the Nielsen April Personal People Meter ratings. Now let's take a quick look at some cord cutting news. If you love the Mod Squad, this weekend is going to be your weekend as Decades TV will present a Mod Squad marathon in memory of Peggy Lipton, who played Julie in this 1960s police TV show. Peggy Lipton passed away from cancer this past week, and Decades TV is honoring her with this Mod Squad marathon. Finally, Apple TV is rolling out its new Apple TV app. With this new app, you can subscribe to CBS All Access, and this app is gradually being rolled out to all iPhone subscribers. Finally, according to media monitors, here are the top commercials you heard on the radio this past week. Number one was Geico Insurance, followed by Home Depot, Progressive Insurance, Macy's, and Lowe's Home Improvement Centers. If you have any comments concerning this portion of the podcast, there are many ways you can get in touch with me. First of all, you can send me an email. My email address is Jeff, that's J-E-F-F, Jeff, at allthingsradio.net. Or you can send me a voicemail with our feedback line. The phone number is 800-693-0595. That's 800-693-0595, and hit option 2 for the podcast team. For All Things Radio, I'm Jeff Bennett.
Great job, Jeff.
Thank you very much. I just want to give you some news about Cumulus, and then I also want to talk about have Perry talk about his sports story as well. And Jerry, we'll definitely get to you. Just stand by. First of all, Cumulus is going to be selling the following stations. There are the six stations, and I can't remember the name of the one in San Jose, but the stations include WPLJ. We have WRQX, that's in New York, WRQX in Washington, D.C., WYAY in Atlanta, Georgia, WZAD in Savannah, Georgia, WXTL or XTL in Syracuse, New York, and I know there's one in San Jose. Now, what's going to happen with those? What's that?
KFFG.
KFFG.
97.7.
Okay.
97.7 is simulcast KFOG, yeah.
That's right. Yeah. Thank you very much, Sean and Perry. Well, those stations are going to be sold, and all the new changes will be made on June 1st. Now, WPLJ, of course, is the most notable one in New York City. But, of course, excuse me, WRQX in Washington is also notable. We don't know what's going to happen with the intellectual properties of WRQX, which is Mix 107.3. But we know all these stations are going to be sold. And Cumulus will probably be selling much money of its larger stations at some point. I think you'll see WABC in New York and KABC in Los Angeles and WMAL in Washington, D.C. and maybe WLSAM all get sold, because what's going to happen is they're going to be concentrating on the smaller and medium-sized markets, which is what they were originally. So that's the big news. Perry, what's going on in sports?
ESPN Radio announced they notified Bill Rozinski last week that he would no longer be the voice of college football and college basketball. He has done, for the last 10 years, he's been the voice of many of their bowl games, and he's done the ACC basketball tournament, among other things. And before that, of course, Bill Rozinski was the voice of the Carolina Panthers before going to ESPN, and he's also worked, I believe, on the SiriusXM Golf Channel at one time. So I suppose the most likely scenarios to fill his shoes would probably either be Mark Hestisher, who works with ESPN Radio, or Adam Amin. Those would probably be your most likely scenarios.
And I don't think Bill Rozinski is going to be without work. He could easily go back to Westwood One, especially they made a little bit more money. They might be willing to take him on and slide him into one of the top slots, because he's got a national reputation, and certainly he could get involved. If he does that, he could certainly get involved with the NCAA basketball coverage too.
He certainly could do that. Jerry, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Sean. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's probably going to be Mark Hestisher, I would say, because Adam Amin, they're using him a lot on TV, so I'm thinking they're grooming him for... So I would speculate, just someone who watches a lot of ESPN television, I would speculate that Hestisher is probably going to be the man.
And
someone called me. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Mike.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off there, Perry. I was just going to say, I think one of the biggest news stories that you touched on earlier over in the streaming media TV side was Disney buying over the next 5 years buying out all the shares of Hulu from Comcast, because it looks like they may have the rights to take those shows and put it on their forthcoming network that's supposed to roll out in the fall. So, I mean, that can make Disney a serious contender against, you know, Netflix and Amazon Prime.
You know, it certainly could, Mike, because they want to do their own streaming service as well. And if they get the rights to all those, and since they have the rights to all those movies and all those shows, as a matter of fact, that's going to happen with Disney. Sherry, would you raise your hand, and we didn't mean to leave you holding here. So what would you want to say to us?
Okay, well, you're talking about... you know, the marathon on decades with Peggy Lipton. We don't get that anymore. But with the death of Tim Conway, MeTV all next week from Monday through Friday is going to be presenting they call them special episodes of the Carol Burnett Show. He was a fixture on there that were. You know, between 11 and 11:30 p.m. That's next Monday through Friday, the 20th through, you know, the 24th.
Okay, thank you very much, Sherry. I appreciate that.
It looks like we got
Penny. And it's funny you bring up the Tim Conway thing also, because KFI in L.A., since Tim Conway Jr. is a host there, they've apparently been doing a lot of tributes to Tim Conway, because, you know, for his son and everything. So, but one thing about the Hulu situation also, remember, a lot of your Fox show, a lot of your shows produced by 21st Century Fox were up on Hulu already. So Disney is just keeping their shows of the, you know, for the studio that they acquired, you know, on a service that they're now acquiring. And it could be just them totally, instead of starting their own network, it could be just saying, okay, we're going to have Hulu, and it's easier to buy a network than it is to start our own. Maybe that's the route that they're going.
Well, what about the NBC shows?
Well, they will still contract, and, you know, I'm sure they'll allow them on there, because, you know, they'll allow different things from what I understand, because even though Comcast had them with Universal, you still had shows from Warner Brothers, from Fox, from Disney, others on Hulu. Right. So, you know, I'm sure they have that agreement working out.
And I still say, don't rule out Pluto. It's bought by Viacom, and if Viacom merges with CBS, I think you could see a fourth big player there.
And the other thing is,
Viacom has Paramount and the Paramount Studios also, so all the shows produced by Paramount.
And as a matter of fact, let me just tell you, on Pluto, when you install Pluto TV on your Fire TV, it infuses itself with a lot of their channels, and one of the channels is the Paramount Movies channel, and they're going to be doing another channel of Midsummer Murders, which is a British mystery detective show, I should say, that I happen to like, and a friend of mine likes. Bill, I know that I gave you some calls for calls and feedback, and I'll let you place them wherever you feel you want to put them. Okay, Bill,
put so just letting you know. In just a moment, but I think Perry wanted to say something, and then maybe we could do these calls and feedback.
Yeah, the only thing I was going to add to the ESPN Radio thing would be Amin and Kestisher are the two that are doing their NBA championship series coverage. That's why. Okay. That's, I think, why we would suspect that it would be one of those two.
And Mike, before we do calls and feedback, if Disney's going to buy Hulu, wouldn't it make sense for Disney to get rid of the Hulu streaming service and make it the Disney streaming service? They wouldn't have two of them competing against each other.
Well, I think Hulu is too big of a brand. I don't think that would be a smart idea. I don't know what they're going to do, but I can't believe they would get rid of the Hulu name. It's got too big of a following, too many millions of subscribers to that. So maybe they could have both. They could break out the content. I mean, some offer both offering some of the same content, and then maybe Disney having some of their in-house stuff. I don't know what will happen, but... I do think that's going to be a big, it is a big play. Probably the biggest streaming news story of the week, I would say.
Okay, Bill, I'll turn it over to you, and you're the boss here, and you can turn the crank and get those calls going.
Hey, I'm the boss of nothing. I could be moved out of here tomorrow, but we want to say hello to Bernie, who snuck in here, doesn't want anybody to know he's here. Here we go.
This is Charles from Maryland, and it would be a terrible thing if WSM had to change from a country format to get all sports. That would be too bad, but if it's not making any money, what else can they do?
Hi, this is Mike in Aventura, Florida. KBLA was great. I enjoyed them very, very much. What frequency were they, and what are they doing nowadays?
Well, there was that. I think we've discussed that last week. That was pretty brief, Jeff, but I think...
Well, I can answer his question about WKBLA. KBLA is on the air. It's a Spanish religious station. It transfers on a frequency of 1580.
Wow. And the original one was on 1500.
That's correct.
In the 60s. And then they, when that 1500 went dark sometime in the 70s, and I can't remember why, there was a bunch of cross filings to bring it back. And a bunch of, and it just never came back. And they don't need it. I mean, you know, most of it went out to the Pacific Ocean anyway, I think.
This is true. Bernie, I know that we've got you here, and I know you don't normally don't get into the podcast. Is there anything that you wanted to say this evening, or you're welcome to join us as well?
I have just been so bummed out that I couldn't be in here that I just made time for tonight, because I love all things radio.
See,
it was very nice of you to pay me to say that. It was very nice of you.
He's probably busier now. Are you busier now than you were before you retired? Is that what's happening?
Yes. and actually, I'm back to working part time. They asked me to come back.
So what are you doing during the week now? Are you doing all the honeydew things for your wife and stuff like that now, or what?
Well, yeah, I suppose I do that, but I work out a lot. I read a lot. I'm always busy. But then the station said, "Hey, could you come back and do weekends and fill in during the week sometimes?" And so I'm doing that too.
So now that you're retired, I feel like I'm interviewing a guest here, and I am. The state of radio, the way it is, has your views changed on that at all?
Not since I retired. I mean, I had some pretty specific views before then. I mean, I'm honestly a little concerned about the future of radio, as I think everybody in this conference would be. But I felt like I needed to get out just because I had done everything that I wanted to do, and I had a great time, and I love it. I love working part-time. But if that goes away, I'll be fine with that, too.
Oh, and no, there's one thing you didn't do, Bernie. Our talk back in whatever year, 87, whatever year it was, you said you wanted to work in Los Angeles.
I know I said that to you. I said that on your overnight show down there in southern Indiana. Was it Vincent or Washington?
Yeah, Washington, yeah. You said you wanted to work in Los Angeles. So.
I think you'd be a great hip-hop DJ, Bernie.
One other question for you, Bernie, because we were talking about this and your name came up last week. We were talking about do some of these companies stage like some of the calls that they insert on there, or maybe in a 5-hour show, do they just do 1 or 2 hours where they're actually in studio and then voice track the calls in place, or how does that work? I think particularly we were talking about iHeart.
When you say calls, do you mean like talk radio stations, or do you
we were talking about Karen Sharp's love song show. It sounded like, and Bonnie also mentioned on the callback on the voice and feedback, but she wasn't sure, so I didn't want to put it on the air. Maybe the show is live from 7 to 11, and the calls are recorded as well during that time, and it's voice tracked from 11 to 12. Do you see that happening a lot? She talks to the listeners and has a topic. And that
it was like a Delilah-type show, you know, where she read some emails and stuff and then played one or two calls.
I believe that. I mean, like shows like Delilah, I think they're all voice tracked.
We know Delilah's voice track, Bernie, because you can get Delilah for different formats and different music.
Right. She at the beginning of the show threw out a question and then took a call based on that. So I'm just
Karen Sharp actually gave the time on her show a few times, and you don't hear that at night anymore.
And it's really funny because a lot of times we do all 80s weekends, and I still have requests in the can that I took. A long, long time ago when I was full-time, and sometimes I'll use them. Uh-huh. Use the request.
Okay, Bernie, we've got two potential format changes here in Indianapolis. I've seen one at 93.9, which we know is going to happen. We just don't know when in the next week or two.
Exactly.
Have you noticed your radio dial, though, today? 93.5 is coming back.
When?
I don't know, but tonight it's really strong, and that's unusual. So something's going on with 93.5.
Well, it's about time. And I know this doesn't pertain to everybody, but do you know what 93.9 is going to do?
Yes.
We think it's going to be soft rock.
It's going to be soft, adult, and separate based breeze. On the domain registration.
It's going to be like the breeze. Something, it's got to be different than B1057. They've already tried that before. That's not going to work.
Right.
I don't know.
And they can't call themselves the Breeze, Bernie, because iHeartMedia has the exclusive rights to that name.
Well, they can call themselves the Blow.
Now, what are you trying to say, Bernie? You know, inquiring smart. Never mind.
No, we're just competing with Cumulus here. You know, that's right. All.
But something's
like
going
your
to
happen right. Here has the star.
Right. Something's going to happen. I think it will happen, but they continually change formats. I don't know if it's a signal problem. There's something. They have made more changes over the past 10 years, 12 years, 93.9. What have they been? Talk? They've been country at one time?
They've been Solid Gold Soul. They've been Christian. They've been 80s.
And weren't they also a soft adult contemporary format for a while as
yes,
well?
Yes, and they've earlier? Been news talk. They've been talk. But whatever they do, it's always a little too late. And, well, we'll see. You know? Well, I mean, we'll see. But keep your eyes peeled on 93.5. I mean, the only thing that I know that they could probably do with that 93.5 station is probably make an extension of 107.5 and 1070.
Exactly.
I don't know what else they can.
Well, I think 93.9 here in Indianapolis really does have the typical signal problem that enables them not to be real successful at anything they do.
Yeah, it doesn't matter what. They could have the best format going, and they just don't.
Yeah.
It wouldn't matter.
Yeah. So can they not get a better signal in the Indy, make some modifications? Or
I think they've
tried and been denied, or what?
I think it's
better than it used to be, actually.
Oh, yeah. It used to be real, real weak. They think they've done it once or twice and moved to Lawrence and done everything they could with that signal, but it just, I mean, it's okay. Now, don't get me wrong. It's better than these translators, but it's just not there. It's your typical fringe station. And
the question is, how does it hold when you're driving around? Because that's the way a lot of people listen to radio these days. That's the biggest audience.
Well, I think when you're driving around, it's okay. But if you wanted to listen in office, for instance, to a soft AC, I think they might be a little hard to pull in.
Yeah, it's just...
Maybe 10 years from now, it won't matter, Bernie, because all the radio stations will be streaming and you'll subscribe to the service like you pay for everything else.
No, it won't matter.
So it's really just the state of radio, but we will see, and within the next week or two, we should probably know. But I just noted these today, and we got this from Domain Insight about all of the, and they're usually not wrong.
No.
I mean, not usually.
Thanks for the text.
Oh, I want you to add me to your contact list anyway. So that was my easy way.
I'm in.
Yeah, that was my way to do that. But I suppose we should get to these award-winning, what is it, call letters and format
call
changes?
Call letter and format changes.
Oh, it got an award, too. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I got an award from something. It's not like the Hall of Fame broadcaster Bernie, though, Indiana.
No. Well, true.
But
you don't want to upset any sparks.
Well, she tries in her own way. I mean, who can read all these format changes? You know what I mean?
Hello, everyone.
She rocks
Jennifer
the
Sparks,
house.
And here are your call letter and format changes for the week of May 16th. KFVR-FM, 94.7 Beulah, Colorado, changes calls to KRYE-FM. WDRC, 1360 Hartford, Connecticut, changes slogan from the Talk of Connecticut to Trump 103.3. WHCG 1360 Metter, Georgia, changes format from silent to contemporary Christian and adds slogan Better Metter. WLOI 1540 LaPorte, Indiana, changes format from adult standards to classic rock. WMMW 1470 Meridian, Connecticut, changes slogan from the Talk of Connecticut to Trump 103.3, WNMA 1210, Miami Springs, Florida, changes format from ethnic to talk and adds slogan 1210 The Man. WSNG 610, Torrington, Connecticut, changes slogan from The Talk of Connecticut to Trump 103.3. WTKN 94.5, Murrells Inlet, South Carolina, changes format from Adult Contemporary to Talk and changes slogan from 94.5 The Tide to Talk 94.5. WTKN. KKEA 1420, Honolulu, Hawaii, changes slogan from ESPN 1420 to ESPN Honolulu. 92.7 FM 1420 AM. KMMQ 1020, Plattsmouth, Nebraska, changes slogan from La Nueva 1020 AM to La Nueva 99.5 FM 1020 AM. WECZ 1540, Punxsutawney, Pennsylvania, changes format from talk to sports and adds network provider Fox Sports Radio and changes slogan from News Talk 1540 to Fox Sports 1540 100.9. WHBU 1240, Anderson, Indiana, changes format from talk to oldies and changes slogan from Talk Radio 1240 to the new 103.7 and 1240 WHBU FM. WHCU 870, Ithaca, New York, changes slogan from News Radio 870 to News Radio 870 AM 97.7 FM. KNOW FM 91.1, Minneapolis, St. Paul, Minnesota, changes format from News Talk to Classical. KNZR 1560, Bakersfield, California, changes slogan from 1560 KNZR to KNZR 1560 AM 97.7 FM. KNZR FM 97.7, Shafter, California, changes slogan from 1560 KNZR to KNZR 1560 AM 97.7 FM. KZSE 91.7, Rochester, Minnesota, changes format from News Talk to Classical. WBQF 91.5, Freiburg, Maine, changes format from Classical to News Talk and changes slogan from Maine Public Classical to the Maine Public Broadcasting Network. WHXT 103.9, Orangeburg, South Carolina, changes slogan from Hot 103.9 to Hot 103.9 93.9. WMCR 1600, Oneida, New York, changes format from Classic Hits to Adult Contemporary and changes slogan from 101 The Breeze to 101 The Wave. WSCZ 93.9, Winsboro, South Carolina, changes slogan from Hot 103.9 to Hot 103.9 93.9. KXLB 100.7, Livingston, Montana, changes city of license from Livingston to Churchill. WMSR FM 94.9, Collinwood, Tennessee, changes format from urban contemporary to country and changes slogan from Power 94.9 to 94.9 The Bull. The following stations have signed off the air: WIUV 91.3, Castleton, Vermont, WUUA 89.5 Glen Spey, New York. KVOK 560 Kodiak, Alaska. WHSL 107.7 Lisbon, Alabama. And those are your call letter and format changes for this week. For All Things Radio, I'm Jennifer Sparks, wishing all of you a very good week.
There we go. I wasn't sure what we were going to need it there.
Trump FM. Okay.
That's another stunt.
You would think, well, they're going to do, it's a lot of bridge talk. See, they're going to be talking about a lot of bridge games and stuff like that. No, I mean, it's crazy. Yeah. I wonder who owns those stations in Connecticut that are switching to Trump FM.
Yeah.
I don't know, but... I've always said I call him the tweeter in chief and the talk show host in chief. So I guess now, you know, we had Rush Radio here for a while at AM 1200. So I guess we can have Trump Radio, whatever.
What is the deal with KNOW? It says switching to classical 91.1 in Minneapolis. That's our news talk NPR station.
Ooh.
I don't think that's correct. I think
that's part of the problem. Sometimes when Jennifer gets the information from the source they get it from, sometimes the
I know. I understand.
Do you think it could be an HD, Tim, that might be switching or something? Maybe that's what they
meant. No, their HD is, well, first off, Minnesota Public Radio already owns 99.5 KSJN, which is classical. KNOW's HD 1 or 2 is iHeartRadio, and their HD 3 is BBC
News. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Well, we'll just have to find out and see what happens, Tim. That's the only thing we could say about that, you know? I mean, we've seen these things.
Keep my ear and eye out for it.
Yeah.
Well, I think, Bill, how about if we do our recording industry thing?
We can do the recording industry thing, Jeff. Not a problem. I'm on the wrong button here, though. We don't want to do that because, but we've got it now, Jeff.
Here's Paul Anka. Well, in the 50s, in the early 60s, the single record was the thing. If you didn't have that, you didn't get the album, which was a follow-through, and then you didn't have a career.
Here's Tommy from Tommy James and the Shondells.
And radio was the way you put new records in front of the public. So I loved AM radio.
Be happy. Come on, everybody. It's a beautiful night in Chicago.
These 50,000-watt clear channel stations, I mean, WLS in Chicago would hit 10 to 20 million people. They'd hit 38 states at night.
Number one.
There is nothing more exciting thing on this earth than an exploding smash hit single, because it just, it happens everywhere at once, and it just goes, it's like an atomic bomb. So you knew going in the studio that everything you had to say had to be no longer than 2 minutes and 30 seconds, or shorter, if you wanted to get on the radio.
We shall return with stuff in the name of...
Here's the band's Robbie Robertson.
This is like 1965. We were zooming around Manhattan. And John Hammond Jr. said, listen, a friend of mine is recording, and I said I would stop in and say hello and hear a little bit of what he's doing. So we went to Columbia Recording Studios. And Bob Dylan and these musicians were in there recording. And they were recording like a Rolling Stone.
Once upon a time, you dressed so fine. Do the bumps of time in your prime. Then you. People call, say, beware, doll. You're bound to fall. You thought they were all.
I didn't know him, but I thought, this song is really interesting. It was like a different kind of songwriting. Dion and the Belmonts was there.
Here's Dion.
It was great to watch. Dylan had recorded some albums with just his guitar. And now he had a few of the guys from the Brill Building come up and play with, you know, drums, a full band behind him. It was exciting. But he was like somebody let him out of a cage or something. he knew what he was about and exactly what he wanted to do. You couldn't sway him, because I heard some musicians say, listen, you can't do it. He said, follow me.
Here's record producer Don Was.
Like a Rolling Stone, in my opinion, is the greatest single anyone's ever made. It's a really ambitious statement to put in a rock and roll 45, just a couple years past, like, Be My Baby.
Records, cassettes, CDs, and MP3s. These are not just vehicles for music. They are reflections of ourselves in the time we live in. As technology has evolved, each generation has had a format to call its own. This is the story of our on-again, off-again love affair with musical formats and how magical pieces of wax, plastic, and silicone changed our world. Let's return to our story and pick up where we left off with Bob Dylan's masterpiece, Like a Rolling Stone.
Columbia had really become an album company. Bob makes what is perhaps the longest single ever made, 6 minutes long. Like a Rolling Stone, all of a sudden, it becomes a hit single.
Now Bobby Dylan comes front and center at WHK with song number 6 on the survey. This is called Like a Rolling Stone. You're going to hear the whole 6-minute version here.
I think that the impact on radio was huge, you know, that maybe we can offer more.
This is KSAN in San Francisco.
Here's Stephen Van Zandt.
Around 69, FM radio started, which meant, you know, the DJs were slowed down now.
And that's the way it was, and that's the way it is. And it's always changing, and it is always the same.
And they were talking more conversationally, and it was all sort of being taken much more seriously.
Tommy James.
We went out with Hubert Humphrey in 1968 on the presidential campaign. He was, of course, running for president. He was the vice president. Well, when we went out on the campaign, the big acts of the day were the Rascals, the Association, the Buckinghams, Gary Puckett, us, you know, all singles acts. 90 days later, when we get back, no kidding, the hottest acts are Led Zeppelin, Blood, Sweat, and Tears, Crosby, Stills, and Nash, all album acts. We knew that if we were going to stay in this business, we had to sell albums.
Led Zeppelin, I believe, was the first one to tell the record company they were not permitted to put out a hit single anymore because they were just so uncool.
Here's Dion.
All of a sudden, the 50s. People are on album covers, they're all smiling. The 60s hit, you don't smile on album covers anymore. Kennedy was assassinated. Rock and roll went down about 5 octaves. It got serious.
Here's music writer Greg Milner.
During the 70s, especially in the rock world, the LP was king. But it had drawbacks. They can scratch. They're certainly not portable. And there was no way to make one easily. You had to go into a recording studio. You couldn't just make an LP at home.
Music in pocket size and instant loading.
The cassette tape was a good example of a technology that really didn't even pretend to be in advance over what came before in terms of sound quality. It was, however, very, very portable.
You record from your radio or make your own program.
And the first time anybody could make a recording, it's very easy to make like a direct, you know, from vinyl to tape recording.
Here's music producer Nigel Godrich, Adam Horovitz, and Dave Grohl.
I just taped all my friends. You know, I just had thousands of cassettes. You know, I was pirating as a child, you know, absolutely.
Think about when you were a kid and you're going to school and your pockets are like this and it's like all tapes.
We would make cassettes and share them with friends. And we would pass them around and then we'd go see those bands when they came into town. And we felt like that music was ours.
Of course, you could also make mixtapes, so essentially you could create your own LPs.
You had your cassette for a dollar and you'd put all your favorite songs on it.
You could find connections between songs. You could find thematic things.
If I was making a tape for you, I'd be like, you know what? I have a feeling you're going to like these particular types of songs. You'd maybe put some romantic things on there. You'd try to be cool with it. This is how I feel, you know, about you.
In this particular selection of songs in this particular order, it was a big deal.
It's an extent of your arm. It's an extent of your personality. If there's a girl that you're really into, first thing I do is I go make her a mixtape.
It was a document for who you were at that moment, who you, how you wanted the rest of the world to see you through the prism of the music that you loved.
Here's Nina Cherry.
I remember getting a mixtape from Corona Queens. It was Spoonie G. It was just like a cassette from like a bodega. And I think I probably killed it. You know, I played it to death. It was like the first real uncommercial hip-hop, sounding like it was coming off the street. And I fell in love with it.
Here's Dave Grohl.
The first music scene that I fell in love with was the punk rock scene. My cousin Tracy, she brought me upstairs and she showed me her record collection, and she had fanzines. And you go to the back of one of those fanzines and there'd be this classified ad section where, hey, I have a band, here's my demo tape, it's only $2.50. Send two stamps and I'll send you a sticker and my cassette. And I realized there was this whole underground network, like, whoa, man, all of this is happening without anybody having any idea it's going on.
The cassette industry is booming. For the first time ever, pre-recorded cassettes are beginning to rival sales of the vinyl disc.
The thing that really drove cassette sales was the advent of a handheld cassette player that you could listen to with headphones.
You better feel the music with a Sony Walkman.
The Sony Walkman is a tiny stereo cassette player with truly incredible sound.
Recording engineer Bob Ludwig and music writer Jason King.
They came up with a really good set of headphones for these little Walkmans, and for the first time, you could take a device this big with a good set of headphones and climb the top of Mount Everest, and you could listen to a Mahler symphony and get chills down your spine.
The Sony Walkman has forever changed the way the world listens to music.
That was an exciting new technology, because basically it inaugurated the era of private listening. It was about walking in the street with your headphones on and the music being contained to your personal space.
The idea that being able to have your own soundtrack wherever you went, that's what really, I think, changed the game.
You could actually take them with you on the bus. You had the sound right there in your head. In 1983, the labels had records and they had cassettes. They didn't see anything really new on the horizon.
Let's try this new key command here. Let's see if it works. Is everyone back with me?
We are back. We're back.
It worked.
Oh, man, cassettes. Oh, God. That was my heyday, man. In the 70s, I used to make mixtapes and I was a poor boy, and I'd make like a 90-minute cassette with maybe 24 songs. I'd make some soul ones, you know, for those who enjoyed that, and some classic rock ones, you know, from St. Louis or Chicago.
I would take my father's album collection, and he said, well, I don't want to buy albums anymore. I said, why don't you let me put them on cassette for you? I'd record them on cassette for him so he didn't have to ruin his records, and he liked taking the cassettes with him in his car and everything else. That's what I remember.
Or you also had the time where, like for me, if you had those albums, those cassettes that your buddy maybe had, but you were afraid if your parents would find out you had this out. So you record, get them, especially like in my era in the early 80s when you had the dual triple cassette boombox.
Oh, yeah.
And, hey, make me a copy on the cassette. Make me a copy here because my mom and dad, they don't need to know I want this album, but I'll get in trouble.
Well, back in the day when the radio stations played albums, and then, you know, you'd record it and listen to it a couple times and then release it and record another album. Yeah.
Or you recorded it. Well, you recorded it and saved it. I remember I didn't really want to buy an album once, and it was I don't remember what it was. Maybe it was the Asia album or something like that. And I recorded it, and I said, "Well, I'm not going to buy it." I did buy it later on, but they would replay it on WPYX in Albany. They would play an album at midnight on Friday night. They played one of the Asia albums. I recorded that, and I didn't buy the album for a while.
In St. Louis on Sunday night, they have what they call the Seventh Day, and they play seven albums.
Yeah,
seven to midnight.
KZW.
We used to have the 6 o'clock. We had the 6 o'clock six pack on 99.5 Kiss. Yep, and we used to do that. Yep.
And it beat the hell out of 8 tracks because I remember my college roommate had an 8-track recorder. He would record and it would always, you know, it always cut up. It would pause in the middle of to go to the next track, or sometimes it didn't work right. But I mean, but the best thing is next week, and it's a longer one next week. Unless you want me to split it up, Bill, but it's a longer one. It's 18 minutes, and it talks about the evolution of the recording and going into MP3s. And I think you're going to find it to be very, very interesting.
I always remember we had a station in Lincoln, Nebraska, when I lived there, that ran albums, and they ran the entire Songs in the Key of Life album, Stevie Wonder, which was a two-record set and another disc, another record that was, I don't remember how many songs it had on it.
Wow.
I think like 4 or 5. Anyway, they ran it all together, and I recorded the whole thing.
Well, we did it in college. We had 4 days, and we were 89 FM. We played 89 albums. We played one every hour. And I remember I had to introduce the songs, and it was John Lennon, and I was like, how do I say woman is the end of the world? How do I do this? You know, 89 albums in 4 days.
Well, what about WSYR FM? They didn't necessarily play albums, but they had a thing where they were going to play every Beatles song, and they did from A to Z. And they said that they were going to miss one song that they wouldn't play. You have to figure out what that was. But I figured out that they missed two songs. They forgot to play the flip side of Lady Madonna, which was called Inner Light.
Yes.
And
I remember that song.
I don't remember the other song they missed, but I remember
It wasn't the Ballad of John and Yoko. They weren't worried about that, were they?
No, I don't think so. I just don't remember what it was. Joe, you have a question or wanted to say something?
Yes. I just saying when I used to be on KMOJ Radio, Minneapolis, Minnesota, it would be frustrating. People would call up, "Can you play this song so I can tape it over the radio?" So I made sure I would talk long before right. And when the vocal started, I would stop talking like any good DJ should. But anyway, in those instances, I made sure I was talking. So I ruined their tape.
Okay, thank you very much, Joe. Thank you.
You know, and the interesting thing with all the tapes, Jeff, I still have many, many, many cassettes as well as weird set sounds.
So do I.
Well, you know what's so funny? When the Let It Be album came out, WPLJ was WABC FM at that time. Bob Lewis was the radio announcer, and he was playing a bootleg copy of the album before it got officially, and he would talk through the album so people
right at the beginning of October. It was weird because it was like a year before the album actually came out. BCN had it and WMEX had it, and they were the only two in Boston that did, but they would play that stuff. Yeah, you're right. There was a weird version of Teddy Boy and all kinds of stuff. Very strange.
I always remember when Let It Be came out, the album, the Beatles album. They had a bootleg copy that they played on KQRS before the actual album was released.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I was talking about. And they would talk, and Bobaloo would talk over the songs because they didn't want people recording it or something. I'm not sure why he did that. But and of course, they were supposed to have gotten in trouble for it. They never really got in trouble for it. It only increased the Beatles' popularity when they were playing the bootleg albums.
I think they only had that around for about a week, that bootleg thing. I stopped hearing it. And then just after that was the Paul is Dead stuff started up.
And that was another, we could talk about that. And I will be doing a feature on that at some point on a radio announcer who got fired because of it. Well, I'm not going to say any more than that.
I remember that.
But the reason that Paul is dead is because the Beatles did create the publicity about Paul being dead. And why did they do that, Chris? To sell more albums. And it's a common fact that it was created by the Beatles themselves to sell more albums.
Wow.
Because we got another hand raised.
It'd be good if you could find one of those recordings. I know there was one on Dallas. It was like about 30-minute thing, and they played all these clips of the songs, and, you know, it sounded very professional. It almost made a believer out of it, you know.
I will talk to Bill about this. I'm not going to say we're going to do it. I actually do have a way of getting one that was done in Buffalo, New York, and I want to know. Let me do this. Rather than say anything here, I'll talk to Bill about it, because it may be something that we can air maybe when we're on vacation in the July or something like that. I'll talk to Bill, and, you know, I'll let Bill make the decision at that point. Okay, guys, we'll see what happens.
Okay. All
right. Do we have another raised hand?
We do. Jerry, go ahead real quick.
Okay, one of my first ventures in taping things was, there was a guy on WXPN, the University of Pennsylvania's radio station. He had a show called The Attic, and I taped the Magical Mystery Tour album from my cassette radio. And I also used to tape, I had a crush on Susan Day, who played Laurie. And since Channel 6 was you could get Channel 6 on your FM radio, I used to tape a lot of Friday night episodes of The Partridge Family and listen to them over and over again.
Let me ask you a question, Jerry. Since you used to watch Channel 6, did you also tape the Al Albert's variety show with what he was from the Four Aces?
No. I used to listen to it from time to time, but I never really taped it.
And what about Larry Ferrari? He'd spend a half hour playing or an hour playing the organ on television with pictures in the background. Did you ever tape his stuff?
Yeah, sometimes I tape some. Sometimes I tape a couple of his shows.
Okay, thank you, Jerry.
All right.
Now we got them all, Bill.
We got them all, yes.
Okay,
you're listening to All Things Radio Live. You still there, Bill?
This helps, doesn't it? It helps to turn the mic on.
I think I might have to talk and read Shakespeare for a while.
Uh-oh.
No, but Jeff's got a timely feature coming up here, WRQX, and, well, it won't be long for them, will it, Jeff?
No, as a matter of fact, it won't. As a matter of fact, after listening to it a few times, I realized it was a countdown show that they produced. But I don't think the guy was live in the studio. I actually think that they had taped it beforehand. But this is what aired on 1982.
Here we go.
Earlier on All Things Radio Live, you got to hear radio station WPLJ as they made their announcement of their final demise on May 31st, 1982. But Cumulus is also getting rid of their...
Jeff, I think I screwed up here.
Well, let's just continue here. You're listening to All Things Radio Live on the Worldwide Legend. It's heard every Thursday
let's
night
from 6:30 to 8. Yeah. Let's try this, Jeff. WPLJ. I think maybe that's really what we wanted to do.
This week on our featured station section, we're traveling to New York City, and we're going to listen to radio station WPLJ-FM. On May 31st, WPLJ, as we know it, will not exist anymore. The station, which is owned and operated by Cumulus, has been sold to the Educational Media Foundation, owners of the K-Love and Air One Christian formats. WPLJ will be taking on the K-Love format. This week, we're going to be listening to the announcement of WPLJ's demise by Todd Pettengill, host of The Morning Show, and how the morning team reacted to this announcement. So without further ado, sit back and listen to WPLJ-FM from New York City on this week's edition of All Things Radio Live.
Delightfully dysfunctional.
Todd and Jade in the morning.
WPLJ-FM and HD1, New York. A Cumulus decision.
85.5.
PLJ.
All right, we got that announcement we've been telling you about this morning, and that's coming up next with Todd and Jade in the morning on PLJ.
Jade in the morning on 95.5 PLJ. Here's Todd with a special announcement.
The rumors you've been hearing are true. As hard as it is to believe, WPLJ will be going away on Friday, May 31st. The format and personalities that you've come to love over the years will no longer broadcast on 95.5.
Long live New York's best rock, WPLJ New York.
I'm
Shelley Sunstein, WPLJ News.
I'm Jim Kerr. This is WPLJ, 3 before 7 o'clock. Good morning to you. Here's Journeyman faithfully at WPLJ.
Most Music Power 95 with Pat St. John. Thank you for spending your weekend with us.
WPLJ Domino's on your radio with New Kids on the Block concert tickets bulging out of my pocket, among other things.
It's time in the morning. 95.5 PLJ.
48 years ago, this iconic radio station signed on the air. And we can't help but think of all the music, the personalities, the concerts, the prizes, all the fun we had. We had a great time together, and we will never forget those times. The coming weeks will bring the end. And over the years, we've made some incredible memories. And we're so glad that we became the best of friends. We never took your friendship or loyalty for granted, and we will be forever grateful. We'll pass on more information as we get it. Until then, from all of us at 95.5 PLJ, thank you for listening.
Todd and Jade in the morning
on 95.5 PLJ.
PLJ, Todd and Jade in the morning, 7:21. Obviously, if you missed the announcement that we did at 7:10 this morning, the end is coming for 95.5 WPLJ. Friday, May 31st, the station will be going off the air, and it was purchased by a Christian broadcasting company. So that's a deal, in case you didn't know. And that's the music and format that they're going to do. And obviously, that's not what we do.
Well, so. I mean, the question we've gotten a lot is, are you going to continue to do the show? Which, as much as we are cut out to do a faith-based morning show, yeah. I haven't received
especially
any offers.
Yeah.
We'd all have to go to confession before. But Jade, yeah, you'd be great.
Why is this on me? Okay.
So that just to clarify, that means everyone here will be leaving, and the radio station is going away. It'll be whatever it is.
Gone.
It'll be called, I don't know what its call letters are, but it's a K-Love format. So
right.
that's what it'll be.
Well, and we found out a while ago and have just been trying to kind of digest it and make our own plans for our lives and our families. And it's been a tough thing to understand. PLJ is such a legendary station. It's a station that, you know, growing up in radio and wanting to be in radio and be a broadcaster, it's just been this iconic, massive signal. And, you know, having the opportunity to work here with you, Todd, and Annie and Monk has just been, I can't even put it into words. And that it's ending this way is sad, you know, but I hope that we can all keep in touch and,
like us personally, all of us.
It's just a weird day.
Yeah, with you.
Well, not you.
I'm unfollowing you right now on Instagram.
No, wait till the 31st at least.
So, Annie, how about you? I'm going to give everybody a chance to just give their take. That's all.
I feel like this is love them or leave them.
So, what do you say, Annie?
Yeah. Or final thought? When Annie's like, what? Me?
Leave or convert? What is it?
I don't know if I can speak about it. I'm trembling.
You can.
I'm so upset.
You can speak.
I know.
Just thank you. Monk made the initial call to me 5 years ago, broadcasting in the Hudson Valley for so many years, and then getting that call and everyone's like, oh my God, the legendary PLJ, and just being here and having this opportunity to speak on this microphone in this studio, learn from you guys. We're all talented in such different ways, and we learn from each other, and we've all gone through so many crazy life things that a lot of people don't even know about, but we show up every day, we laugh, we smile, we try to make you smile, and we've met so many families. And this station means so much to so many people in the Tri-State area. And I'm sad to see the signal go away forever. But I'm grateful for my time here. And I'm grateful that we're the last of it. That we get to see it through till the very end.
Unless it was our fault.
I know what we did, what we could do. And it's radio. And these things happen. It's not the first time I've been through it or anybody else. And we're all going to be okay. And I'm happy we have a final say. Sometimes radio, you're out.
It's so true.
And you disappear. Like, this is...
Yeah.
And thank you for just getting me through my first year of motherhood and embracing Sean and Michael and my family, and love to all listeners. I'm sorry, I can't even, it's just so sad. And I'm ready to, you know, see what's next. What's the next chapter? Right. And stay in touch with everyone and wish everybody well. Met so many great people along the way.
You got such a good point, too. And there's a lot of comments on Instagram and everything. And if you want to keep in touch with us, if you find 95.5 PLJ on Instagram, you'll find our profiles, too. But Todd, what I love to see are the people that say,
I listened to your girls do the Vermont teddy bear ad. You know, I listened to, you know, I was there when your girls grew up and got married and had kids of their own. I mean, you've had a relationship with this audience. I mean, you too, Monk. Sorry.
Yeah.
You're sitting over there. Poor Monk. 27 years. But, you know, you've shared your lives. And for Annie and I to come in, you know, in the last 5-6 years and join you guys has been a real honor to get to know this audience and to have our own life milestones, you know, for me having a miscarriage and then finally getting pregnant and Stella growing up and doing Unscrambling Stella when I first moved here, if you remember that. But for you guys, the roots are so deep, you know.
Yeah, Monk. Go ahead, Monk.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of weird because this is all I know. Like, literally my entire life has been PLJ. I've been here longer than more than half my life. And the only reason I ended up working here was in 1994. I was in college and I was like, I want to get an internship. And I got accepted to a bunch of places. But the only reason I took the internship here at PLJ was it was one block from the PATH station. Little did I know.
Really?
Yeah. It was one block from the PATH station. It was the easiest internship to get to in Manhattan. And I was like, this would be fun. I'll do it for a little while. And from the minute I walked into that in the door in the spring of 1994, I've been here ever since.
Wow.
Which is like...
unheard of
it's
in radio.
Crazy.
It is, right?
You know,
especially for the number one market.
Yeah.
I mean, this is, everyone aspires to get to New York. So for you to have your first job here based on geography and convenience to the PATH.
Yeah, how lucky. And lucky
it's,
you.
It's all I know. And, I met my wife here, and so I'm thankful for the work, for the job, for doing that and for meeting all you guys. And Todd's been sort of like a big brother to me. You know, he's the one who kind of found me when I started working here in the promotion department. He said, hey, that guy looks like he could be something one day. And
little did he know.
Little did he know.
You're still working on it.
Yeah, still working. Maybe one day I'll be something, Todd. But yeah, no, so it's going to be hard to walk away from this. Like, people have already, I mean, we've all obviously had the conversation. What are you going to do next? What are you next? I'm like, I don't know.
I know. I
just
really,
I just don't know. You know, the thing is, it's like, like I said, this has been more than half my life. This is all I know what to do. All I know is waking up and seeing Todd first thing in the morning. You know what I mean? So,
hey, what about us? We're here too.
Well, I've been with Todd for just slightly longer.
Wait, so how many years have you been in this studio?
In the studio, I think it was probably like 1996.
Wow.
So, yeah.
I was in high school still.
Thanks. You don't need to mention that, Annie. It's all good. But yeah.
So what is that, 24?
20-something years.
Not a mathematician.
Yeah. That's a long time.
Good for you guys. 27,
23? Wow. What about you, Todd? How many years have you been in this seat?
28.
You were 91?
So the station was on in 48 years, came on 48 years ago, and I've been here for 28 of them. So when you think about that and put it in perspective and you raise a family and you have an audience that grows with you and stays with you, it's a humbling experience because they genuinely, you guys listening, have become part of our extended family. I mean, there's no question about it. I've gotten to know so many listeners who we communicate. You know, before there was social media, it was email and phone calls. And the thing that always struck me about the PLJ audience was that they were extraordinarily loyal and stayed with this station when, quite frankly, they probably shouldn't have. And it went through all kinds of changes and they stayed and they listened and they said, well, we're with you. And that just has always meant the world to me. And it's all about the people clearly in this business, because it could have been, you know, there's a lot of shows that are on the air that they don't talk to each other once the microphones are off. And it's one of those things, guys, where if you're listening and you're saying, you know, this can't be true, that, well, we work for a company too. So this is not something that we ever wanted or we ever planned. No. Basically, we've been fired. So that's okay, because we've all been fired. You know, it's again, I think it's something we share with the audience, and we have a unique opportunity to go through it with them. And most people listening have been fired at one point in their life,
or downsized, you know, department eliminated.
I guess I don't know what the right term is, because
either.
When the radio station has been sold and they're changing format, I guess, well, technically you're not fired, but your services are no longer required.
Yeah.
You know, so that's in and of itself sort of a humbling thing. I've never been fired from a job.
Welcome to the club.
Only took you 28 years. There you go.
Actually, I can't say that. When I was 14, I got fired for leaving the radio station and going home to cut the grass while the polka show was on. So there is.
Wow.
So
that's true. Okay.
That's true. But then I got a job at the FM that night, so it was
you
like
rebel.
It's really a surreal thing to be going through.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're going to go through it, we're going through it together. And, you know, until the end, we're going to just continue to do our show. And we hope you listen.
Yeah.
And we'll have some laughs. And, you know, if you want to check in, we'll take some calls here and there. And that's all we can really do at this point. You know, just do the best that we possibly can.
What even wrapping your mind around just the idea that a radio station would sell, if this gives you any sort of idea or paints a picture for you, our engineer, Gene, who's been here a zillion years, basically created this room, right?
Yeah.
So he came in, was a couple weeks ago, and he essentially, because people ask, well, you know, are they going to bring their furniture in here? Who's going to be sitting in your chair? Who's going to be using your microphones? It really doesn't work like that. It's not like we pack our boxes and we leave this floor. This is a space that Cumulus owns. So when they sell the radio station, essentially the engineer, Gene probably, will come into this studio that we're in and press a button, and the signal will just no longer go to the antenna on top of the Empire State Building. There'll just be another signal that'll take that. You know what I mean?
Right.
So
it's the same signal.
It's the same
signal.
We just won't broadcast to that signal, I guess, is what I'm trying to say anymore. So this space that we're in will no longer push out information into the world. And that just blew my mind. Because
it'll push out the Christian broadcasting.
Yeah. No, not here in this room.
Information.
Yeah.
No, but the signal will.
Yeah. Well, yeah, the signal's not.
The signal's the signal.
Well, not in this room, but I mean, like, this floor, this space where you guys have been coming for, almost 30 years is not going to be PLJ or broadcast anymore.
But that's the thing about radio that people need to understand is we all put our best foot forward. Like I said, no matter what's going on in our life, we come in, we show up, we broadcast, we put our happy face on, and we can't control what happens above us. And that's why radio personalities move and move and move. We have this unique opportunity to say goodbye. I am so grateful for that. I've been let go before. They mail you your stuff in a box.
Yeah.
And
your
audience says, where did you go? When I last, I think it was like 5 years ago and I came here, then people heard me on with you guys, Todd, and they said, oh my God, there you are. I didn't know where you went. That's just the nature of our business. And we're going to keep moving and hopefully stay in touch with you. But, you know, radio FM is the most powerful thing in the world to me as far as media. We get to reach you in such an intimate way and really be along with you on your gruesome commute, your rides. And we don't take that for granted. And I love everyone for supporting us along this journey.
And there's nothing like it. You're right. I mean, think about it. TV, podcasting, whatever medium, whatever you listen to, whatever entertainment, you know, whatever you go to, there's nothing like radio where you can call instantly and connect with somebody. And you can hear, for us anyway, we can hear so many different stories from people of walks of life that we would never otherwise touch. The fact that we can all come together and have shared experiences and storytelling. Where else could you find something like that outside of like terrestrial FM radio? It's incredible. It's super impactful.
It is a business that's in trouble, but that's a whole nother, conversation. So until Friday, May 31st, which is 3 weeks from Friday, you're stuck with us. We're going to continue to do what we do. As a matter of fact, Blown Off's coming up next on PLJ. Hang on.
Todd and Jade in the morning.
95.5
PLJ.
There we go. Wow.
Can I ask two questions to two people, Bill, who have been in radio and understand it maybe? I want to ask two questions about Bernie and Mike, for Bernie and Mike. Do you mind if I do that?
Not at all.
Go.
Bernie, I know that you've been in radio a long time, and you've worked at the station from Emmis for a long time. What does it mean to you when you hear them talk about a station going away like that?
Well, first of all, it's sad. I mean, you think about the fact that the station is going away. They're still going to have something there, but it's not going to be local. It's not going to be anybody in the studio. They're all going to be gone. And I understand that there's a definite need for a station like a network like K-Love, but I hate the fact that it replaces local air people.
I couldn't agree with you more. Mike, you've been through this. What goes through your head?
It was a very similar experience, right? I did the last show Monday morning, 6 to 10 a.m., and March 8th, 93, and they switched. They did AC because they wanted to promote the station that was taking it over, WZDM, for 2 days, and then they switched to Real Country on the Wednesday morning. And it was just surreal to play music and have people there doing everything live, and all of a sudden, you know, it's playing Skip a Row from Tempe, Arizona. And it was just a very weird, sad and depressing. You know, what am I going to do next? But, you know, all these people that you were part of their day, they listened to you in their cars and school buses and everything. It was just a very surreal is the word.
And it's so weird in radio because getting fired is almost like a badge of honor.
That is true.
Can you kind of explain that, Bernie? I kind of understand what you're saying, but give me a little bit more of where your head is when you say that.
I don't know. It's like if you work at the tire factory and they lay you off, the people who know it are the people you work with, your family and your friends. When you get fired from a radio station, if the station's any good at all, a lot of people know it. And a lot of people want to hear your story. And they want to know what happened. Why did they do this to you? You are our favorite. And all that kind of, and you know, I'm sure Mike went through the same thing. When I got fired in Muncie, Indiana, for God's sake. So I just think, you know, okay, I've been fired. That's cool. I can add that to my little resume here. But it's just a different thing in the world of radio when you get fired. I mean, these people at PLJ, unfortunately, they're not getting fired. They're just stations being sold right out from under them.
Yeah, and the problem is the station was sold, but they didn't buy the intellectual properties of the radio station. They bought the radio station, the frequency. They probably bought the transmitter. I'm not even sure if they did that. Yeah, they bought the transmitter, and they bought the antenna on the Empire State Building because they share that with all the other radio stations. Sure. But everything that is or was WPLJ still belongs to Cumulus.
I was on both sides of that because about 7 years before, our owner bought the radio station, 106.5 in Washington, and we went in and just took it over, and they kept a couple of the people, and they had the AM part of it. They separated it. But basically, we took over the radio station, bought it for like $800,000, and I remember at the time, the owner said, I'll give you $50,000 off if you'll keep the staff. And our owner, you know, he believed in us and didn't take that. But so I saw both sides. I saw people get let go and walk in and take over their shoes and then yet be replaced by satellite radio. So
I know a guy in Syracuse who was totally blind. He worked or had lost his sight, had some little sight. Station was going through format changes, was going through a sale, and they didn't want to keep it because he couldn't see. And it's sad, Bernie, because I don't think this happens a lot, but it does happen occasionally. And he was so depressed about it. He lived in an apartment building. He went to the roof of that apartment building and jumped out the window. I mean, it's a sad situation. And if radio is that important, and I knew the guy, and I only wish that he had called me or had talked to me. Maybe I could have talked to him. And, you know, it happens, unfortunately, and it happens more than you know. Pete Myers at WNEW was told that he wasn't going to be doing afternoons anymore, and he killed himself because they were changing his shift. And radio is a strange business. I know a lot of people in it, even though I didn't work professionally in it very long. It's a very strange business.
And we'll have to ask Bernie if he knew any owner.
Yeah, go ahead, Bernie. Go ahead, Mike.
Bernie, if you knew any owners that kind of got their jollies out of changing formats. I remember our owner going, oh, this is nothing. I remember blowing up a Christian station.
That's sad, you know, that people get off on that. But yeah, when they took me off mornings and put me on afternoons, I was pretty sad.
But you had a progressive owner. I mean, you worked for Emmis, and Jeff. Jeff could have said, he could have said, you're blind. I don't want you anymore. I don't want you on the radio station. And it's very hard to sue over the thing called unsuitability, because I can fire you at a radio station, and whether you're blind sighted, white, black, blue, green, tall, short, you're not suitable. I don't feel you're suitable for what I want, and you cannot legally fight that on a civil rights or discrimination basis, because you can't fight unsuitability.
Yeah, but it's an ego thing. I mean, Bernie, didn't he get replaced by like John Tesh or something? They did that would have hurt my ego.
They took me off mornings. They had a new program director, and he said, "We're going to put John Tesh on in the morning. We're moving you back to afternoons. That's where I always liked you." So, you know, and you don't have much say, you know. And I mean, I was fine. I did afternoons for years anyway, but I thought I really enjoyed doing mornings. I didn't think I would, and I really did.
But the problem is
John Tesh in the morning. Yeah,
and the problem is, Bernie, you don't have much say, especially if you're like me. You know, I worked and you got a wife, you got family to support, you've got kids to support. You can't just, it's a little hard to just say no. You know, that's part of the problem. I mean, you can't.
Well, and as you pointed out, I worked for Jeff Smolian, and he's like the greatest guy in the world to work for. When I told him I was retiring, his main concern was, is something wrong? Is somebody doing something? Is something wrong? Can I help you? Give it a couple of weeks before you make the announcement. You know, he was really concerned.
He could have said to me, "You're going well. We'll just voice track you from somewhere out in New York or somewhere out in California." And he didn't.
Yeah.
That, I mean, and you don't find a lot of people like that. And you know, a lot of people, management, programmers. I don't want to say it here on the podcast and on the live show because I don't want to offend anyone. but they're real AHs, and you know it, and you've seen it all throughout your life on radio.
So, all right, here's a question.
And I'm sure Mike can attest to this too. You do meet a lot of kind of jerks in this business, and you think, how in the world did this person keep a job?
True.
Go ahead, Bill.
I got one for you guys. All right, Bernie, the biggest firing or the biggest shakeup in Indianapolis that you can remember, just off the top of your head, within 10 seconds here or 30.
The walkout at WNDE was probably the biggie.
Tell us a little bit about it, Bernie.
Staff walked out.
Can you tell us? Can you give us some background on it that you remember?
Do we have time?
Sure.
Well, Tim, do you mind us being a little late on your show?
No, we got time. We got time.
He doesn't care.
An hour or two. Hey, Tim, play that one song. It's a really involved story, but a guy named Chris Bailey came into program, and somebody decided that they didn't like him. He'd only been there for like a couple of weeks, and the staff loved him, and they fired him. And the staff said, hey, if he's gone, we're gone. Huh. And so the morning guy, on a Friday morning, put a record on the turntable. They had one of those automatic turntables that would play over and over. Put Disco Duck on, called the GM, and said, hey, you got a problem. And the guy goes, what do you mean we have a problem? He goes, no, you have a problem. We're gone. We're walking out. And everybody left.
Wow.
And what happened to the station after that? It never is the same
beginning that Monday morning, they had a station, WLTY in Tampa at the time, because they were owned by Ray Hall at the time. And they brought a guy up from there to do the morning show because he had worked at WNDE before. And then they brought a couple of part-time people in. And as time went on, a few of the people who walked out did come back.
Well, and there's a similar story at WORFM. And they were... They had to separate, you know, back in 1966, they had to separate WORFM from its AM, and they became a kind of underground kind of station with Top 40 and some album cuts, and Bill Drake was coming in, and Roscoe was the evening announcer there. His name was Bill Roscoe Mercer, quit on the air and just said, I'm done. Drake is going to ruin this radio station. I don't know that he did. I happen to like the Bill Drake format, but I'm in the minority possibly. But everyone was gone. Bill Drake took over, ran the station, and it never really did that well under Drake. It was never run properly. The corporate headquarters at RKO ran it the wrong way. And I know we're really, really late, guys, but that's, you know, I just thought, I'm sorry we're so late, but it just hit me when that particular segment came played with WPLJ, because these are people who have wives and families and they're people just like you and I. I mean, and they have a life. They have their own lives to lead. And unfortunately,
and
this
you can,
is what
and
happens.
You can find real quick. You can find on YouTube when K-Love took over the Loop in Chicago because they put Steve Dahl on the FM to simulcast with WLS that day, and it too was a sad moment in radio.
It was, and I can't say bad things about K-Love, Bernie, because I've listened to them, and they are as professional as it gets. Well, except for the local problem, right? I know you don't like it, but as a Christian station goes, they do a good job at what they do. I don't necessarily like the idea that it's done out of Rockland, California, and for the exception, I think that they have some local announcers in Minneapolis, Minnesota, who do the morning show or something like that. I don't know if they're still doing it that way, but... That's what I can say. Bill, I'm going to turn it over to you because I know we're running kind of late, and Tim's chopping at the bit, but I know he loves listening to all things radio.
Hey, Bernie, thanks for that story. You're right about K-Love. Everything you say is correct. Let's play this.
Oh, I will never forget it. I was at Ball State going to college, and a friend of mine in Indianapolis called my dorm room, and my roommate answered. I came into the room. He said, listen to this. And he already had it on.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. I remember when K-Love took over 101.9. It was sad enough back then here in Indianapolis. You know, even that station, as small as it was.
Oh, I love that station.
Yeah, KLU. I remember when K-Love took that.
They took over a classical station in Miami at 89.7 and 90.7 up in the Palm Beaches.
All right, Bernie, I'm going to ask you to put on your psychic hat here, but when do you think you're going to start seeing this replication in other companies? you know, when a company will just take a group of stations and take, you know, make a Kayla, be it top 40, AC, whatever, classic hits, whatever. What do you think
it's
will happen?
It's going to happen sooner than later. I wouldn't be able to even begin to say when, but it'll be another sad day.
Yeah, I think that's when you're going to see the major change of radio.
Yeah.
I say 2020. I'll say July. By July 2020, some company will replicate some form.
I've already come up with that idea. Yeah, you're probably right.
It's almost happening at WTRY in Troy, Bernie, because the voice track person says WTRY, and they put that in. Rather than having her do voice tracking for every station, she does the regular segments, and they just put her voice in with the call letters. So isn't
almost a satellite? That sounds like the old satellite, Jones. Satellite.
But it's not a satellite. It's voice track.
I know.
It's
almost the
same. And isn't that almost the same kind of thing that Mike's talking about, really?
It's close now. If you just start scanning between, say, like iHeart Classic Hit stations, all be playing the same song within a couple minutes of each other. So they're
I know. It's awful. I'm depressed.
Hey guys, we got to give Bill a little bit of a break. I know he's been sitting at the console all this time, and I know he probably wants to get something to drink and something to eat. Bill, I know we've been running a little long, but thank you really for all the work you do on the podcast and the live show.
All I can say is our next big change is Live 365. The Legend's going to be syndicated. Who knows? I don't know.
Yeah. Hey, I'm going to start voice tracking my show.
Yeah.
The Legend is one of the most live stations on the internet. I mean, I don't think there's any other station as live as The Legend.
Right. We're live, all right.
Yeah.
Yes. All right, guys. Have a good week. We'll see you soon, Bernie.
All right. Here on All Things Radio Live, you got to hear radio station WPLJ as they made their announcement of their final demise on May 31st, 1982. But Cumulus is also getting rid of their Washington, D.C. station, WRQX-FM. And this week, we have a classic air check for you. It's Gary Murphy from December 31st, continuing the countdown of the top hits of 1982. So without further ado, why don't sit back and enjoy this radio station on this week's edition of All Things Radio Live.
Q107 is WRQX Washington. Hi there, it's New Year's Eve. This is Gary Murphy. We've got an all-star lineup going for you tonight as we count down the top 82 songs of 1982. And this is song number 66, Frankie and the Knockouts, Without You.
You know, not too long ago.
As we count down the top 82 songs of 1982, we hope you're having a great night at your New Year's Eve party. And we do want to remind you, don't drink and drive. Have a good time, but don't drink and drive. Song 65, Quincy Jones.
I did my best, but I guess my best wasn't good enough.
Q107, song 65, the top 82 songs of 1982, Quincy Jones, and Just Once. This is Gary Murphy. It's New Year's Eve. Our countdown is commercial-free. The entire weekend is commercial-free. Here's song number 64, The Clash and Rock the Casbah. Q107, count down the top 82 songs of 1982. Song 63, Tony Basil and Hey Mickey.
Oh, Mickey, you're so fine, you're so fine, you blow my mind. Hey Mickey, hey Mickey.
Q107, it's New Year's Eve, and our countdown continues commercial-free. We're moving up to number one with song number 62, Paul McCartney, and Take It Away.
Take it away, wanna hear you play till the lights go down.
Q107 from the Tug of War album, that's Paul McCartney and Take It Away, song number 62 of the top 82 songs of 1982. This is Gary Murphy. I hope you're having a great New Year's Eve party. Remember, I don't want you to drink and drive tonight. I want you to have a good time, but I don't want you to drink and drive. Q107. Q107,
24/7. We're counting them down commercial free. This is Song 60, Lover Boy, When It's Over.
Q107 satellite weather. Tonight, New Year's Eve, mostly cloudy, lows 27 to 34. New Year's Day, partly cloudy with a highs 44 to 48. Happy New Year from Q107.
Q107, of the top 82 songs of 1982, that's song number 60, Lover Boy and When It's Over. This is Gary Murphy. It's New Year's Eve, just about 8:30, and your party should just about be underway now. Maybe it's starting to crank up and get into full gear. Our countdown is commercial-free tonight. In fact, we're commercial-free all weekend. The category now, the 59th most popular song of 1982. After 3 years without a big hit, Supertramp came back in 1982. A song that was somewhat similar to the Logical song. This is song number 59. It's Raining Again, Supertramp on Q107. Q107, it's New Year's Eve, and we want you to start the new year out right by picking up a Q107 bumper sticker. Stop by Safeway, pick one up, stick it on, and cash in 1983. The countdown continues. Song number 58, Stevie Wonder. When I see Q107, that's song number 58 of the top 82 songs of 1982. Stevie Wonder and Do I Do. This is Gary Murphy. It's New Year's Eve, and it's just a little over 3 hours till we get to the new year. You know, 1982 did include a few surprises, and one of those surprises was when Kenny Loggins and Journey's lead singer Steve Perry teamed up. Those two got together and did this song, song number 57, Kenny Loggins and Steve Perry. This is Don't Fight It. Q107 kicking off 1983 by giving you a commercial-free weekend. And we're getting the whole weekend underway tonight with a countdown of the top 82 songs of 1982. This is Gary Murphy, and this is song number 56, Mr. Guitar, George Benson, and Turn Your Love Around. One of the big songs of 1982 was this group's first hit, Steel Breeze, You Don't Want Me Anymore, song 55.
Q107 satellite weather. Tonight, New Year's Eve, mostly cloudy, lows 27 to 34. New Year's Day, partly cloudy with a highs 44 to 48. Happy New Year from Q107.
Q107, Gary Murphy on New Year's Eve with a commercial-free countdown of the top 82 songs of 1982. We're working our way towards number one. To say last year was a big year for Hall & Oates would be the understatement of 1982, with three songs on the countdown. From Philadelphia, Daryl Hall and John Oates, Maneater, song number 54. Q107, Daryl Hall and John Oates, and one of the three songs on the countdown, song number 54 and Maneater. This is Gary Murphy. We're counting down the top 82 songs of 1982, commercial-free. It's a commercial-free weekend on Q107, and this is song number 53, Olivia and Heart Attack. Q107, undoubtedly the number one female artist in contemporary music today, Olivia Newton-John and Heart Attack, song number 53 of the top 82 of 82. This is Gary Murphy. It's a little shy of 9 o'clock now. Dave Thompson is coming in here next to count down an hour, part of our all-star lineup that we've got for you on New Year's Eve. So Dave is coming in next. Have a happy new year, but don't drink and drive. Want you to have a good time, but don't drink and drive. I'll see you in the new year. Here's song 52. Soft Cell and Tainted Love.
Sometimes I feel
Q107 WRQX Washington. Dave Thompson stepping in to do my share of the review of the top 82 of the past year, 1982. Pretty song from Elton John, the final goodbye to John Lennon. Number 51 in 1982 is Elton John's Empty Garden.
What happened here as the New York Sun?
WRQX-FM and WPLJ-FM are both being sold to the Educational Media Foundation to broadcast the K-Love Contemporary Christian format. Now, if you have any comments concerning this part of the podcast, why don't let me know about it by email or voicemail. The email address here is Jeff. That's J-E-F-F, Jeff at allthingsradio.net. Or you can call that feedback line. It's always open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 800-693-0595. That's 800-693-0595. Hitting option 2 for the podcast team. For All Things Radio, I'm Jeff Bennett.
This concludes another All Things Radio Live. Join us every Thursday at 6:30 p.m. Eastern for the latest radio news, interviews, caller questions and comments, station scopes, and more. Visit the show's official website at www.allthingsradio.net and visit the Legend website at legendoldies.com. Join us again next week for another All Things Radio Live on the Worldwide Legend.